Well, I'm here. It's, I must say, a nerving experience being on a metal tube with wings, isn't it? It doesn't feel right, and it's ran by fuel. But thank God I'm still here. No volcano went off, you'll be glad to know. It was a fantastic time. Now, I just want to get straight in, if you don't mind. I want us, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn it on or flip a page, just checking you're awake, to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And I want you to Mark 16, and we're going to go from 9 to 20. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and he had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he has said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Amen. And I'm going to stop there. Isn't it a beautiful thing, evangelism, when we share the gospel with others? We are bringing the good news to people who are who desperately need it. It is a news of happiness, because it's the news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And when we proclaim the gospel, we are declaring that God reigns over all, and that there is hope and peace in him. And as Christians, we should never be ashamed of sharing the gospel. Yes, it may not be popular or well received, but it has power to change lives for eternity. We should not let fear or social pressure silence us from proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Because it's only through the gospel that a person can be saved. It's not just for a specific group of people, but for everyone who believes. And we must have a bold and unashamed faith in sharing the gospel with those around us. Well-known evangelist John Stott said this: "To evangelize does not mean to win converts, but to simply to announce the good news, irrespective of the result." Evangelism is not much about reminding people how lost they are, but how loved they are. Amen. And I just want to say a big thank you to you all for your prayers as I was on mission in Naples in Italy last week for 4 days. God did amazing things. He moved powerfully whilst I was there with my friend Martin. And as I speak to you this morning, you will be hearing just some of the testimonies from some of the people we encountered and was able to have conversations with, which I hope will bless you and be an encouragement to you, but also inspire you as you go on this walk of evangelism in your day to day. Doing as we commanded, as we just read in the Gospel of Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, to give you a bit of background, I've known Martin Durham, for nearly 2 years now, and I got to meet him through a group called Kerygma 180, and Kerygma is actually a Greek word for proclamation or preaching. And before I met Martin, I actually knew about K180 already, as I was doing outreaches with friends who actually worked closely with K180. And some may or may not know, but since last year, I've actually been taking part in a 2-year evangelism course called the Emerging Evangelists Institute in Northampton in King's Lodge. And just because of time, I'm not going to share all about it today. I did print some stuff out about K180, but I'm going to bring that next week because I did forget it. Silly me. But yeah, I'll bring that next week and you can read all about that. So being in Naples has been life transforming. Naples, it's been great. It's been so good to us. The people, the food, obviously. But that's not the important bit. Yes, it kept me alive. And Jesus did as well. Martin led 2 evangelism courses, training courses. And he also spoke at church on the Sunday on our last day. And every single one of them, the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was with us. Hearts have been ignited again with a fresh passion for spreading the good news. Hearts young and old, filled with the Holy Spirit. Their hearts burning more and more and more for Jesus. There was a young man in one of the meetings, a bit younger than I am, who I was able to pray for in one of the evangelism meetings. And when I saw him on the last day in church in the morning, before I was supposed to get on the flight in the afternoon, we locked eyes. And he had this big, beaming smile that I didn't see before when I first met him. He had this big, beaming smile, and he had a fire in his eyes. And he did not have that fire before. God was doing something in him. And again, there was an older woman who I prayed for in one of the meetings. And when I was praying, I heard the Lord tell me she has been going through some difficult challenges. And the Holy Spirit touched her and was healing her. God was doing something in them. God was doing something in Naples. We also did a lot of street evangelism. And we walked a lot of miles, and in those 4 days, we met quite a few people and had some great conversations while we were inviting them to the Noi Festival with Franklin Graham, which was probably one of the main reasons we were there. For example, we met a lady and man, a couple, Syria and Alessandro. A young couple who was by the sea, And we had a long, long chat with them. Their eyes were locked and they were listening intently to what we had to say. We were very close to a decision. We were very close to a decision, but they weren't quite ready to take that step. But we were able to leave them with some literature, and they happily took it to read in their own time. The Lord was with us the whole way, from the very beginning. Divine appointments after divine appointments. We also met a man called Giuseppe. He said to me and Martin, we used to go to church and even evangelize, but he fell away into old and worse sins. He was desperate. He was really, really desperate. And he said, I have been tormented in these last days with thoughts of suicide. And he believed Jesus would not forgive him and take him back because he was too far gone. And we know, church, that is a lie from the enemy. That is a lie from the enemy. He wanted to turn back. And we were able to explain to him this was God's divine appointment that we met him. And we were able to pray with him. And he prayed with much joy, now gloriously saved. Is it wonderful to know that we are carriers of a message that can fill someone's darkest of times in life? And we can fill it with light, and we can fill it with hope, the book of life. And it can change someone's life for eternity. The whole trip has been life transforming. So again, thank you so, so much for your prayers. So this morning, you're going to hear three things from me this morning. Lucky you. You're going to hear three things. And the main one, it should be on there, on the screen, is the Great Commission that we heard. And it's that word, go. Go is a command to action. We can't follow Jesus and expect to stay in the same place where you are forever and ever. You can't get comfy on a sofa, watch your favorite TV programs all day. God requires movement in the directions you are sent. Amen? But it's so much easier. It's familiar and often comfortable to just stay where you are. It's less risky. It's less dangerous. But it doesn't change the fact that it's our duty to go. Regardless of the cost, we are supposed to go. When Jesus says go, he sends me and you on mission with others to be Jesus. To be Jesus to those around us. Since Jesus is merciful, we can be merciful. Going requires movement in the direction we have been sent, where God is calling us for us to go. He sends us to love others and to bless and encourage others so I can't stay where I am. I can't stay where I am. I have to go. In the Gospel of Luke, there is a very important but challenging piece of scripture, and it's incredibly significant passage when it comes to recognizing both the cost and the benefits of choosing to follow Christ. Luke 14, verse 27. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, to some people, that's a punch in the stomach, isn't it? But it's so true. In another version, in the Message version of the Bible, it says, one day when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Basically, what that piece of scripture is saying, what Jesus is challenging us with, is the question of, can I make a commitment to the point of giving up my hopes, my dreams, my possessions, even my life, if needs be? Are you willing to die? Taking up your cross means sacrifice, laying everything at the altar. It's not half-hearted commitment, it's full surrender to God's terms of discipleship. It's a choice to live out the truth that we are in. Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ, even if it means shame, rejection, and persecution. And I know after being in April that God really has given me vision and has given me a lot to ponder on about with the ministry I run, Gateway Puppet Ministry, with the puppets. And that very scripture in Luke has been stuck in my mind whilst I was there. It's been stuck in my mind. And I felt challenged with the question, Ben, how far are you willing to go for me? How far are you willing to go? Now, does anyone know the movie Jumanji? Anyone? No? Never watched it? Some may, some haven't. That's fine. Well, it's about four teenagers who are sucked into a magical video game. And the only way they can escape is to work together to complete the game. And once they complete one mission, they go on to the next level, and it gets harder, and the challenge becomes greater. It runs off the theme of life and how you choose to live it. And in the movie, all of the teenagers are faced with decisions. And some of those decisions face major consequences as they determine whether or not to enter dangerous situations, to leave the game or continue the task they are given. And I feel that what the Lord has been challenging me with. And maybe, just maybe, this, for me, going to Naples is the next level. This is just the start, church. Maybe this is just the start of the next level. And he's saying to me, are you ready? Are you ready to go into the dangerous places for me? How far am I willing to go? Am I ready to face that next level which is to come? Whatever the cost, am I still going to take up my cross and follow him? Well, that's simple for me. The answer to that question is yes. I'm still going to continue to take up my cross and follow you, Lord. No matter what, no matter the cost. Church, we need to be braver in this season. I really believe that. We need to be braver than ever before. With everything that is going on with governments, wars, you name it, there are people in the world who are hungry. They are thirsty for something more. They are thirsty for something more. They are asking questions. Is there more to life than this? Is there more to life than this? And that's not just in the UK. It's everywhere. Whilst we were on the streets in Naples, we met an older gentleman called Roberto. And we got into conversation. And as we got deeper into conversation about Jesus, he told us about his 29-year-old daughter who died suddenly 2 days ago. And he said he feels like God's abandoned us. And we was able to challenge him by just saying, maybe God has sent us to England to show you that he has never abandoned you. We are called to be lights shining in the darkness. And that brings me to my second point. Be the light. How can we be the light? Well, first of all, we've all got beautiful smiles. So first of all, smile. Be that glimmer for someone else who may be more discouraged than you are. To be the light means in times of darkness, you offer hope, you offer encouragement, kindness, and compassion. In times where others are struggling, you offer a way to help them to regain their glow and shine, to see the good and the beautiful. Ephesians 5:8-9. You yourself used to be in darkness, but since you have become the Lord's people, you are in the light. So you must live like people who belong to the light. For it is the light that brings a rich harvest of every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth. We went to a shop. And there were these, there was this lady called Anna, and there was three shop assistants. And we started with Anna, saying, and we got into conversation, and she was saying she did not trust evangelicals because of a bad experience. She said, "I'm a Catholic." And as we chatted, it became very clear that she had no assurance of faith. And we had clearly that opportunity to share the gospel with her. And one of the shop assistants said this, "I can see the light in your eyes." And then coming to the end of our conversation, we were able to pray with them. And so we went and stood in a circle to pray. Now, obviously, there are people waiting to be served and needed to be served, but the staff didn't care. And you knew they didn't care because one of the shop assistants said, "The customers can wait." Glory to God. The customers can wait. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, yes, it can be a little scary thinking about shining the light of Jesus for all to see. You know, it's much safer to casually mention him in hopes of not offending anyone. However, Jesus proclaimed in Matthew 5 that his disciples were the light of the world. They were not to remain hidden. They were called to shine their light as a city set on a hill. We are Jesus, disciples too. We are not meant to stay tucked away in our protected corner of the world. We are to boldly let our light shine. There was this calf. And outside, there was these religious murals outside. And we got into conversation with three young workers with tattoos. And they had many questions, especially one lady, Magdalena. We were able to share the gospel fully. And afterwards, she said this. Many people talk to me about God, but this is different. It's as if God has sent you here today. Again, church, divine appointments. Divine appointments happening. She was not quite ready to pray the prayer of salvation. But you can see they were clearly moved. They were clearly moved. Especially Magdalena. God is on the move. God is on the move. My last point. God is on the move. God is on the move in mighty ways. Now, everyone must have seen The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, right? At the beginning of the story, the White Witch has seized control of Narnia and is magical and has magically imposed winter. She has terrorized the Narnian habitats by turning many into stone and by putting a stop to Christmas. How awful. To make matters worse, Aslan is nowhere to be found. Now, Aslan is a lion. Aslan is nowhere to be found. He's silent. He is hidden from view. And yet, in the midst of all this, the Narnians find hope in the reminder that they share with one another. Aslan is on the move. What does that remind you of? And this reminder helps them to hold fast, even through the most difficult circumstances, when Aslan is silent and seemingly far off. When we find ourselves in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, when God is silent and hidden from our view, we cannot see what he is doing. We need this same reminder that God really is on the move. He is at work. Even if we cannot see it, the invisible hand of God is moving and working behind the scenes, bringing his perfect purposes to pass in our life. God is at work today, church. He really is on the move, even when we cannot see what he is doing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged.